They met at a chat room on the internet. Soon, they emailed each other every day. Then, for a few months, they spoke on the phone. And finally, Riesling found himself waiting nervously in the airport arrival lounge, and she, the last person off the plane from Cleveland. And when their eyes met, she looked away, unable to gaze upon him. Even in the taxi on their way back to the city, she averted her eyes, and yet Riesling could feel her heart pounding. And in their hotel room, she held Riesling in her arms, her head thrown back, her eyes closed, one leg wound around the ankle of Riesling's left foot, her other foot pressed against the wall, her fingers grasping the squeeze toy she'd brought with her. It was everything Riesling had thought possible, but had never before experienced in the act of love. Her second visit, a few months later, was even more passionate. They're taking one another in the cab on the way back from the airport, unable to uncouple even as they signed the register in the hotel. And then, hours of frantic, lubricious lovemaking, until both of them, physically spent, would fall into a deep, profound, comatose sleep, sometimes waking days later. Always a bottle of Dom Pérignon, an ashtray full of gold-tipped Russian cigarettes, mink underwear, paper slippers, feathered masks, and steamy, luxurious, two-hour-long showers when he'd wash her hair with peppermint soap and she'd give him a rectal infusion of chamomile tea, slightly sweetened. It was Fifth Avenue at Christmas time. They could hear the sound of the Salvation Army band from Rockefeller Center, near where the tree had recently been lit. The crowds were shoulder to shoulder. Macy's, Bloomingdale's, the windows of Tiffany's and Harry Winston's, brilliant with animated Christmas displays. The streets jammed with traffic, men in overcoats and women in furry jackets, and children in parkas with cherry cheeks and eyes wide as saucers. Riesling remembers holding her hand and moving through the crowd, the brisk air filled with dancing flakes of freezing snow. Her skin glowed, and her eyes glittered like diamonds. Finally, they came to the ice skating rink at Rockefeller Center and looked down at the skaters and the restaurant tables by the side of the rink. They were carrying their skates, tied by the laces over their shoulders, and they rented a locker where they put their shoes and their valuables and changed into their skates. And then they were out on the ice, their arms interlocked, skating gently to the right and then to the left, their feet pushing in tandem, moving in long, lazy circles around the outer edge of the rink. Riesling lifted his arms, and she twirled beneath them like a ballerina, spotting perfectly. He lifted her up by her waist and tossed her in the air, and she spun, landing on the tip of one skate, one leg up, in a perfect jeté, her arms out, exquisitely in balance, and Riesling pulled her between his legs, and then, like a jitterbug dancer, she flew over his shoulder, landing behind him, and began skating backwards at full speed. It was ice dancing at its most exquisite. People in the sidewalk gallery above and people in the restaurant below watched them, transfixed. Until she landed from a particularly complex set of spins, and Riesling lost his balance as he reached out for her hand, and their legs became entangled, and she fell clumsily on top of him, and they slid rapidly toward the edge of the rink, taking down a waiter carrying a tray covered with a pyramid of champagne glasses, the glasses flying into the air and turning as though part of a slow-motion sequence in an explosion, the champagne spilling out and immediately freezing when it hit the surface of the skating rink. And as they staggered across the ice, they overturned other skaters in their path, everyone falling over and sliding and grabbing out at their fellow skaters and pulling them down as well, until the rink was littered with hats, scarves, mufflers, earmuffs, gloves, leggings, and mittens, a trail of debris. When they hit the wall, the lights on the towering Christmas tree blinked, and a shower of sparks fell from a branch onto the ice. And soon they found themselves in an ambulance, racing to a hospital. She had multiple fractures of the left leg, contusions of the forehead, and one of her eyes was swollen shut. Riesling was missing a portion of his left earlobe. His right hand was wound in what looked to be the remnants of a tablecloth, and his left pant leg had been shorn away, his leg lacerated with what appeared to be fragments of champagne glasses embedded in his flesh. She moaned, and when he attempted to comfort her, a pink, frothy foam of bubbles appeared on his lips and from out of his nostrils. One of the paramedics, with a large pair of shears, cut away his shirt and attempted to tape Riesling's ribs. When the ambulance collided with a double-decker bus, and the next thing they knew, they were lying in the street, the snow accumulating in drifts around them. Her skin was blue, her teeth were chattering audibly, and her breath froze as she exhaled, forming a fine spider web of ice crystals on her face. Then she said, "Jesus is here. I see him. The Lord has come. He hasn't forgotten us." And she told Riesling that Jesus was smiling at them, and behind him was the brilliant, concentrated blue-white light of eternity, illuminating a road so inviting that she felt hopelessly drawn to it. And she reached up to the sky and began to levitate, and Riesling watched in disbelief as she ascended through the swirling snowflakes until he could no longer see anything but the bottoms of her skates as she rose heavenward and disappeared. The wedding, which was to be held in a large banquet hall with enormous bouquets of flowers, a champagne fountain, a great swan carved in ice, and hundreds of beautifully dressed guests dancing late into the evening to a Cuban orchestra in white tuxedos, was canceled. And that spring, Riesling decided to sail around the world in a rowboat with a bedsheet, a kerosene lamp, a small hibachi, and a copy of the Aeneid.